Like,
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 108th episode of the Mod State Podcast. What's going on, buddy?
Roses. Thanks for having me back again.
Always. Always a pleasure. I mean, who else would I come back on a beginning of a work week with?
Well,
silence.
Pan-partisan echo chamber-ish, anti-echo chamber, I should say.
Well, it's, like I said, we are not an echo chamber. Like you said, our walls are lined with mattresses.
Yeah, I'm sure some people don't know how to take that. Sorry, no, that the break was caused, the cat just leapt over the couch for no reason. So I just, it startled me. So, hence the awkward pause, like, whoa. I don't know if it's attacking me or what.
From the shadows, the cat. And
you've seen a picture. We should put it, you know what? I should put a picture of that beast up on Podomatic so people can realize this is no mere mortal.
this is a liger, if you will. The immortal liger.
Man.
Well, I'm distracted all of a sudden by the soy sauce that I accidentally dropped in my pants. I'm like, what is that? Like, oh, that's it.
You wearing some light linen?
No, I am not. So that is positive, which is probably why I didn't notice it. But I'm just a slob, you know.
Where'd y'all go eat?
Actually, we went to a sushi joint that's new right by our place. I think. I don't know the name of it. I don't speak Japanese, so I can't.
Well, every city has a little Tokyo.
Yeah. So, but it was delicious. They got an awesome squid salad, and I got that. And you know, trying to eat healthy, I got a training for this ultra marathon right now. So calories are a necessity.
Is it longer?
One of the races I'm running, which will be the longest race that I've ever run. I'll be running 50K. Which will be 31 miles for my 31st birthday. Yeah.
Wow. And that's what, September?
Yeah, that's September. And then hopefully October, November, we'll up it to 50 mile. And then hopefully by next year, I'll be ready for the Leadville 100. So it'll be 100 miles.
Let me know. We take it from just run 9 miles, boots and utes, yeah. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Let me know how your joints feel in 2 or 3 years. You're going to be sorry.
Well, hopefully if I keep the diet locked in.
That's not going to help.
And yoga, consistent yoga, and plenty of turmeric, as one of our coworkers used to say in 5 East. Turmeric, take your turmeric. I'll be good.
Swim, my friend.
Yeah, I know. Well,
damage on your joints.
I'll be sorry. Yeah, which is kind of crazy. I have a torn ACL as well, so we'll see.
You and I both played soccer for almost 2 decades. Like, what the hell's wrong with you?
I know. I don't know. I just hopefully I'll get more into the triathlon game, which will be a little bit more cycling. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. It's all.
I know what she's up to.
No. This is my own volition.
Mm-hmm. Behind you, just a group of savages. Like in Fury Road, mechanical arm. It's playing.
Hey man,
the guy playing the guitar. Did you see that flick?
No, but I think I've seen parts of it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, man, I could so see Sarah doing that. You're just like, yeah, cool, babe. Yeah, we'll talk later.
Well, let's get the pleasantries out of the way real quick. If you like Mod State, please go to modstate.com for more of our op-ed and opinion pieces, as well as links to the podcast. You can also find. What did I say? Oh yeah, links to our social media accounts, which include Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and LinkedIn, and that's it. Yeah.
Of course, room with a view.
Yep, and of course you can always find me at modstate_Nate, and I think you're managing the ModState Twitter account. So it's we're there, folks. So reach out to us.
Sort of a lonely, easy street, though.
Yeah, you know. If you hate what we say, if you like what we say, just reach out to us. If there's a topic that you like, please go ahead and let us know, and maybe we'll discuss it. Are you okay over there?
I'm okay.
Okay. I'm just making sure. Everyone's concerned right now.
Don't be concerned.
Okay. We're good. Well, our topic for tonight, or today, rather, tonight we're recording, is, I think, stemming from a piece that you sent me, but I had actually noticed it on CNN. A couple of the left-wing posts had reposted it, and it is essentially an article that literally reads, Bannon, well, okay, so this is on CNN, so it's a little bit more centrist, says, Bannon says, let them call you racists. So if we go to Huffington Post, well, no, I think it actually is on CNN. It says, Steve Bannon says, wear the racist label.
Well, I sent you something on USA Today.
You're right. USA Today had it. And then they say, wear the racist label as a badge of honor. So
that's not exactly what he said.
Exactly. So before, because I clicked on it because I, first off, I read it and I was like, whoa, is this, like, have we just seen the Steve Bannon that everyone is hoping for? Like, is this, did he, what did he say? Like,
Steve Bannon that his mama done knowed she raised.
Well, it turns out that, okay, in prefacing this before we get into this, because I think it's important, there is plenty that I disagree with that Steve Bannon says and is part of his ideology. However, there's a lot of what Steve Bannon says that I think if the left really dug into it, they would kind of agree with. The difference is he kind of takes it like a little further than I think a lot of left-leaning individuals tend to agree with. I think a lot of that is the
leaning thinkers would agree with his thoughts on withdrawing from trade agreements.
Yeah, I think there's also a lot of left-wingers that would agree with the issues of big central banks. I think that for the most part, when it comes to like limiting federal government, I think that most people get that. I think he's trying to have as much freedom as possible. But the little things like the banking system and stuff like that, I think a lot of people agree with. I think it's his like Zionist approach and the pro-Israel approach that I think it gets a little.
See, that's what I kind of agree with.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think, oddly enough, Steve Bannon has a little bit of something for everybody, which is sort of.
I love his Paddington Bear coat. Like, he's always, you ever notice that? He's always in that.
Oh, dude, yes. And he
duffel
is.
Duffel coat. It looks like a World War One army jacket or something.
Literally, I think.
He hasn't washed his hair in a year.
Yeah, he just looks like.
Hung over every day.
That's exactly it. It looks like someone that was on a whiskey bender and was just chain smoking cigarettes all night. I mean, that's just.
He stumbled out of the extras from 310 to Yuma. It's like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah. So, I heard there was a speech I had to give today. Bro. All right, bro.
In France. He's like, what am I doing in France, bro?
He just wakes up in Paris, like, oh, shit. All right, well.
French, like, what the hell?
Like, I guess
all the Americans you could send us.
Guess I'll speak here, I guess. I don't know. but anyway. There's a couple things I wanted to unpack tonight, and the first one being, when I clicked on the article, I started reading it. And I said, okay, this was a little bit of clickbait here.
I did not intend it as such.
Well, no, the CNN was when I read it on CNN, it was a little bit of clickbait. So, the context of what he said, I'll just read a snippet from this article. He said, President Donald Trump's estranged advisor, Steve Bannon, told a far-right gathering in France on Saturday night that they should handle accusations of racism with pride. That's where it's like, did he say that? Or is this the interpretation? So he said, let them call you racists. And he said this to the French National Front Party. He said, let them call you xenophobes. Let them call you nativists. Wear it as a badge of honor. He said history is on our side and that the globalists have no answer to freedom. So, okay. I get it where you could jump to the conclusion that he's like, hey, if you're racist, be racist and wear it as a badge of honor. What I think happened here is he said, I guess maybe you could unpack it and say, I don't think he was saying let them call you racists because you are racists or you want to be racist. It's just it's sort of like a turn one cheek kind of thing. where
except the fact that their ship is sinking and they're gonna try and mar you with different things to say, you know, different insults. Take it as a badge of honor, the fact that these people are attacking you. And he's got a point, globalists and freedom, because these global trade agreements, for instance, guarantee that we're going to continue to import goods from China, with people making 70 cents an hour, things we wouldn't tolerate here. So, I mean, he's got a point there.
Yeah. Now,
I don't think he was making an overt racist statement. I agree with the latter portion, which I think the media is very desperate to paint him into that corner.
Yeah. Well, and I can't really speak to the French National Front Party. You know, that's Marie Le Pen's party. They've renamed or are reshaping and rebranding that party. So again, I can't really speak to the tenets of that party. And I think there is a little bit of white supremacy / nationalism within that party that's a little problematic. But I do see what I think this was is, I think he said, you know, just it's sort of like what your mother would say to you: sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. I think that was the context of this. And I think
my mother taught me to let kindness be the rule.
Yeah, kill him with kindness. Again,
sugar attracts a lot more flies than vinegar, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So
it could be that you, as a German, just don't like French people.
I love French people, man. That French fries, crepes. Yeah, man. It's all good.
Stop it.
My cousin actually is engaged to a French girl, actually. So I love France. It's a beautiful country too, if you ever get a chance.
I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
The motherland.
The motherland. So here's
America.
So there's America. There's a couple things here that I don't agree with Steve Bannon to a point, and I'm not sitting here defending him because I don't really necessarily know what's in his heart. Maybe he's just some flaming racist that has just.
Then why wouldn't he? Why? What does he have to lose at this point by disguising it? He's not ever going to have a mainstream brand, and he knows that.
Yeah, and you know, I alluded to this. Precast.
I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah, I said I alluded to this precast because I wanted to point out that I don't think we're going to see, because I'm sure people are like, why the hell are we talking about Steve Bannon? This is like a snippet in the news somewhere.
Our president is president, in my opinion, in large part because of the rebranding that Steve Bannon introduced to that campaign.
Yes, and even though he's out of the White House, I don't see this individual.
Trump isn't.
Yeah, I don't see this individual going anywhere. And I think we'll see him. If we don't see him in the midterm elections, I bet you money we see him in the 2020 presidential election.
Something else, they'll try and resurrect McMullen.
Yeah.
Who knows what stunt he'll pull?
Yeah, it's you don't know. So a couple of things, like, well, why is Steve Bannon? Why is Steve Bannon in France? Well, recently, obviously, the French National Front Party or whatever that is, I just butchered it. Is making a resurgence, if you will. And Italy just had it's not an overwhelming majority. However, they had some massive gains on very right-leaning parties within Italy. And I believe the same thing happened in Hungary as well.
So Italy managed to combine, what's really scary there is they managed to combine populism and far right.
Yes, which I think...
The opposite of what happened in France. The populists won... with 66% of the vote, 34% went at the Front National.
Exactly. So, and I think that's what they were trying to combine in the United States was this populist, nationalist type view, which was never overtly like a white supremacist movement, but people were very quick to lump it into that. And this is this is what...
3% of the vote.
Yeah. This is what I sort of wanted to unpack. And it's this idea of... As we continue down this road with debate about the White House, the administration, the Senate and Congress at the federal level, that, and even just the culture and climate that is today, that we're very quick to lump people into very extreme categories of what they are. And we're at this...
Them is easier.
It is easier. It's a very lazy way to do things.
It's like the David Bowie song Fashion again. There's a brand new dance. It's not very clear. They do it over there, but we don't do it here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's where it is.
So, and really, maybe this gets a little more philosophical than one intended. However, I think what we're...
Judge me.
Sorry. No, this is not about David Bowie. This is about the...
Nobody likes a naysayer.
It's this line that we're crossing. So there's this line. If you were to draw a line across a piece of paper, and then on the top you put nationalist, and then on the bottom you put patriot or patriotism. And what we're doing now is, and we're doing it both on the left and the right. So I'm not trying to single. When I talk about the right, I mean it on the left as well. And or if I'm talking about the left, I'm including the right in this. And it's this fine line we're walking between what is patriotic and what is not patriotic. And I brought this up on a podcast, I don't know if it was the last one or a couple ago, where Sarah Silverman had an interview, and it doesn't matter who it was, she just brought this up, and this is what I thought was interesting. They asked her the definition of patriotism, or what patriotism meant to her. And she said, I believe that patriotism is having a love for your country, the country that can provide you endless opportunity, clean drinking water, in some cases. Well, hey, that's my home statement. For the most part, the pursuit of happiness. And I know that many people can make the argument that that's not right. There is inequality in this world and in this country. But for the most part, barring maybe a few other countries that are right up there with us, this is still the land of the free. And that's
otherwise one hole is, you know, seems like half the world's trying to immigrate here if it's such a crappy place.
Yeah, exactly. So where was I? So
you were waxing eloquent about the virtues of Sarah Silverman's interview.
Oh yes, okay. And again, it doesn't matter who said it, I just thought it was interesting.
Yes, it's not Gertrude Stein.
No, it's not
Gloria Gertrude Steinem.
It's not. So she said she said, I believe again, that this it is loving this country, but it's also being able to criticize it and the things that you maybe find are egregious or you don't agree with to better the society. And there's only a handful of nations in this world, really, where you can criticize the government. You can criticize culture and you can criticize the fabric of society that you find is wrong and you're looking for forward progression. And I don't care if that's on the right or on the left. If you find there's something wrong, you have the right to criticize that by the First Amendment. You have the right to freedom of speech, to assemble, etc. And I think what I'm finding, where this line is being drawn, is that if for whatever reason you are actually criticizing something, or whether it's a Second Amendment right, or the right to kneel during a national anthem, that somehow, if you believe these things, you are a socialist or a commie, or you're just somehow no longer allowed to be a citizen in this country because you're in a way disrespecting it to a level that's unheard of or unimaginable, and you're a piece of shit, and you're as all these other things, son of a bitch, all these things for kneeling for the national anthem.
Oh, please do continue.
Yeah. Or on the other side.
Oh, Carlin's 7 dirty words and all that.
Okay. The other side of that is, you know, the NRA, the National Rifle Association. Now,
America.
I think it's a fair bit more libertarian than maybe I find palatable. However, it is an organization of people who like to enact and keep sacred the Second Amendment. So in a way, you know, whether or not you think they're cronies or whatever, that's not the point. Whether they're a son of a bitch for kneeling or they're complicit in the murder.
That.
The complicit, well, these are quotes, so I can say that. Or you're complicit in the murder of high school students. You know, we're going to the extreme on either side. And in one case, and I talked to a friend today who is born in Tennessee, raised in Tennessee, and is actually back there. And I don't want to take too much of his platform because I'd like to get him on and have this interview. But what he said is, it's very interesting going home today in Tennessee and listening to the same people who espouse distrust of the government, who today are almost holding these institutions sacred in a way that isn't like raising the American flag and saying the Pledge of Allegiance, where, you know, federal service was looked upon as a respected profession. However, you should distrust.
Right.
Should have a bit of distrust. And that's shifting. And it's taking, like, being careful of taking stock in the things that aren't necessarily the freedoms of this country, like the citizens, the people that run the democracy that it is, but it's putting stock in things like the national anthem, or putting stock in the person who's running for president, or holding the people who are representing you on a pedestal in a way that if you're attacking the president or you are criticizing the president, you are a white supremacist, or you're complicit in the murder of African Americans at the hand of police officers. Likewise, if you like, you know, and I'm going off track here, but what I mean is, we're taking stock in things that aren't inherently like the democracy that are today. And I think you walk that fine line of what like nationalism is. And there's positive nationalism, like in the wake of 9/11, where everyone had each other's back. There was a sense of, hey, we got to go get them. There was a bit of pride there and sadness for the loss of life. And then there's nationalism that has more of a negative light. And it's looking at your own citizen, a fellow citizen who is espousing their belief on a platform that, enduring an event that you hold sacred, and now they are inherently, you know, a second-class citizen because of that. And this is where I think we're walking this fine line by lumping people into these extreme categories because of a belief that they hold. And that's where I come back to this Steve Bannon thing. Again, there's things I disagree with him about, but you know, if media is your, and I think media is a little complicit in this, if you are going to be the media in the sense that you're fairly reporting the news, to continue to push this narrative that someone is saying wear your racism as a badge of honor is not inherently true, and is just creating more rivets and more divides within this nation than we maybe could be repairing at this point. Because
I feel that's kind of a symptom of how far things have gone, not as pertains specifically to Steve Bannon, but just that's the degree to which the dialogue has descended.
Yeah, and that's what I find problematic. It isn't about Steve Bannon. It isn't about... It's that we have allowed ourselves as a nation to get to the point where we're no longer allowed dialogue because of a certain thing that you...
Where the discussion is gone.
Exactly. The discussion has far gone. So, like, we look back at the Founding Fathers, right? Everyone likes to talk about the Founding Fathers and this and that. They'd be rolling in their graves right now, or this was not what they intended, X, Y, Z.
They'd be screaming, let me out of this box, is what they'd be saying.
Yeah, well, we're talking about, and we brought this up before, we're talking about men that wore long-sleeve shirts, powdered wigs, and
cultivating cannabis.
Suits, essentially. Yeah, cultivating cannabis. And wearing suits in D.C. If you've ever been in D.C. during the summertime, it's horrible. It's like 95 degrees. It's like the Gulf Coast, essentially. It's hot as balls. They essentially sat in a room.
Is that a quote?
No, that's my quote. George Washington was quoted as saying, it's hot as balls here.
Thank you.
And they managed to sit in a room essentially, with no air conditioning, and hash out literally the foundation for our country. And when I mean that they'd be rolling in their graves, that the dialogue that we have today is so far removed from the philosophy and articulation that was of that day. And I'm not pining for 1791. Be very clear about that. But what I'm saying is, we, even with the internet today, is this bastion of freedom and this bastion of like freedom of information, we still manage to create our own echo chambers. And we still manage to, even with all the freedom and access to information that we have, that may be in a good way holding leaders accountable and weeding out corruption, we're still creating our own echo chambers. And we are still able to, even within our own sides, like the left does a really good job of managing to try to silence even the more moderate type of thought process within their own party. That,
well, look what they did to Senator Bernie Sanders during the nomination.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's at the highest level. And that sort of just transposes to the rest of the, I mean, they're in a way, you know, the left suffers from identity politics and the right suffers from, what do they suffer from? They've got a bit
You got a couple hours?
Yeah, right. I was going to say, they suffer from a lot. But what they don't suffer from as much is the kind of core tenets of conservatism, where the left suffers from this, we're all in these different groups. We're the LGBTQ, we're the women's rights, we're the African-American Black Lives Matter movement, we're this.
They're trying to out-left the other person, see how far left they can go, and use the inexplicable term woke. It's like, so let me get this straight. You're demonstrating how progressive you are by intentionally flouting your poor grammar?
Well, yeah, that and just minimizing anybody that wants to have a voice at the table that doesn't agree with their identity politics. So there's, I mean, in the right suffers with this a bit within the factions of the Tea Party and...
they boot me out because I'm not going to apologize for having European heritage, so...
there's definitely a bit of that, but culturally...
Worst day of my life.
Yeah, culturally, what is happening is... We are going to this extreme, and even on the right, where I kind of discussed, it's like we are my buddy was talking about this. He said, you know, pre-World War II, what happened in Germany was a case of
the Mondays.
It was a hell of a case of the Mondays, if that's what it was.
Dog day afternoons.
Yeah. Well, what happened is they inherently tied in patriotism with nationalism, where we started to love the government and the people in power, the military, you started to love that more than you did the core tenets of what the society was and what built that society. And that inevitably created a fascist regime. I mean, that created a dictator, that created an emperor, a king. And when you start taking stock, and that goes for the right and the left, when you start...
No, you're so kind. That man was a nut.
Well, he was a nut, but it wasn't like... It wasn't...
Imagine how different the world would be had he not flunked out of art school.
Well, yeah, and gone through World War I as well. That was another key player.
He lost a testicle.
Yeah, that happened somewhere along the way, didn't it? Yeah, he did.
He got wounded in World War I.
But here's the thing, though.
Along with 12 billion other people.
As much as we'd like to say it was just Hitler and he was crazy, he still managed, this one person managed to rally a country to believe in what he was saying and holding these institutions sacred and holding the government or what it stood for. And again, maybe I'm just completely being hypocritical of my own point here, but what we fail... What I'm afraid would happen here is that we fail to recognize the freedoms that we have here to express the things that we want to express by pigeonholing other people, by having identity politics, in some cases holding the institution more sacred than the freedom that we actually have. And we lose...
Well, I'm sure some godless group of freaks at, you know, Riverdale High would boo any sort of economic or sociopolitical speech from me. And I would have a beautiful smirk for them and say, all right, let me know how you fare when the real races show up.
Yeah. Well, and dude, I might be just mumbling absolute nonsense right now, but I hope that maybe you can see, or
no,
proverbially can kind of see the philosophical debate, maybe, or dissonance that I'm having in my head right now.
We both agree that Colin Kaepernick, for example, as you brought up earlier, has the right to do LinkedIn. It's against the federal code to wear the American flag. There's no specific regulation on what one must do other than be silent for the national anthem. Where he messed up to me is he committed the ultimate act of a sin, and that is he whined about the status quo and then admitted he didn't vote. Now, that is problematic on two levels. Number one, again, come on, man. You're going to whine about it, but you can't even bother to exercise the principal right of what makes a federal democracy, a democratic republic, function. Second, it was a profound display, a vulgar display of brazen ignorance, going, dude, you don't have to share every little detail, okay? I mean, why would you tell that?
Yeah, well, you mean the voting thing?
Yes!
Yeah. And look, I'm not trying to get onto all the nuances. I mean, I realize that there's...
He got it right, because in visiting North Korea, he recognized something the rest of us didn't see, and that is the fact that North Korea has so evolved as a state that they all have the same opinion. They have a single-party system, and they stand behind one man. And, I mean, look at the joyous support that he enjoys publicly. I really think that Dennis Rodman has struck the right. He's got the right chord.
Yeah, it's as crazy as Dennis Rodman is, but yeah.
Food to North Korea.
What's that?
Food to North Korea.
Yep, yeah. Well, I...
Go to Pyongyang and host this.
Oh, yeah, we'll see how well you come back.
We'll like be that. Eating straws after an episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's. I don't want to wind up like that. There's a
Vox. Come back, sound like Helen Keller.
Vatech guy that had TBI and came back, but.
That Helen Keller calling her dog again? Nope, they're doing a podcast.
Ooh. Well, too soon? Nah, probably not.
Yeah, well, it's like that meme message. It's Helen Keller. It's eyes closed and she's hugging her pit bull. It's Helen Keller and her beloved cat Mittens. It's like, oh. God.
Well, again, I. Again, I don't know if this is just more mindless rambling for myself, but I do just,
You got the right spirit. I know what you're trying to do. It's very disconcerting, and we're obviously not going to solve this. We're not going to get through this tonight or tomorrow or the next day, but at least we're trying to advance the dialogue here. We're not, I mean, something obviously changed at the turn of the millennium or something. I don't know. But this is not the same America that, I mean, forget that I enlisted for, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever. It's certainly not the one that I was in high school, at the start of 1999. And something changed along the way. And it's not as simple as saying George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump. It's not that simple. Anybody that says otherwise is selling something or just completely devoid of what's really going on.
Yeah. Well, I think, there was a rise of populism in the 1890s. And so, none of this is actually new, but it's new to anybody that's never experienced it.
And things spread a lot more rapidly now. Things are so frighteningly rapid in their organic spread, metastasizing, if you will, that this isn't going anywhere. It's here to stay.
So what I do hope, and my measure of hope here, is that what we are doing, damage control, yeah, is we are going through almost like a bit of growing pains as we move forward and we grapple with things like the internet. Well, maybe we won't have to if net neutrality goes away, but we're grappling with how to manage our freedom of expression today. And it's almost like, it's like that dog that never gets exercise, never really been able to stretch its legs out very well, and then all of a sudden you open up the door and now the dog is able to run free for the first time. And that analogy is to what we have like with social media, with the internet today, where people who didn't necessarily feel like they had a voice,
now it's a bunch of bitches with keyboards.
Well, yeah, there's an inherent negative side to it, but yeah, there's this point where we can finally, we're able to just express what we want to say whenever we want to say it and get validation for it. And
yeah, there should be boundaries. I mean, come on, man.
Well,
I mean, this is a hate, just the vitriol, the hazing of people for having a different thought. It's like, okay, I mean, I don't know. I could string a couple of sentences together respectfully why I disagree with you, and I feel like you put them fairly articulately. That, I mean, you know, I don't, whatever.
Well, no,
just
yeah.
immediately, just,
yeah.
You voted for George McGovern and you killed Jesus.
Yeah, and that's, and I wonder if like that's the growing pains that we're going through now.
Ted Cruz!
Where maybe in 10 years' time or 15 years' time, there will be more measure as we sort of like graduate levels, if you will, of what we're doing with this type of communication and how we're communicating with one another. I mean, people eventually, there's always going to be trolls, and I personally think we're in the beginning and the genesis of that. I don't think that's necessarily going to get better anytime soon, but...
Just so everybody's aware, I was definitely trolling with what I said about Dennis Rodman and Party Boy in North Korea.
That was
trolling.
Absolutely. That would be ignorant of me to...
But at least, I mean, I didn't even say anything bad about either person.
No, absolutely not.
If you want to follow either of those two individuals, knock yourself out.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, anyway, I mean, not to blubber anymore. I just, I do think the solution is, a lot of it is time. And just, you know, allowing people to move through this type of communication. Because it will come to a point where this is no longer tenable. Like, this type of communication back and forth will at some point no longer be able to make any advance forward, where the barricades are on either side of the street. It's like the trenches in World War One and World War Two, where we're just, there's nothing, it's dead zone in the middle.
Well, that's why I think there's such a future for something like Around the Horn from ESPN, but only with politics. You know, even say where you went to school and whatnot, making it sort of almost a competitive sport, if you will. I mean, obviously, there would be nuances to be worked out, but I think there is a real future in something like that because it's going to be so extraordinary. You're going to be looked at like a jackalope in the best sense of the term.
Yeah, and I, you know, even then, CNN is so CNN is trying to do that. However, I think it's kind of crazy. But
they got to move beyond Ted Cruz and Bernie Sanders, even though they both great healthcare debate. If everybody hasn't seen it, we mentioned it before, definitely. But no, I think there's something to be said, too, for having... Yes, have the elected officials, and kudos to CNN for doing that. And I hope that they keep doing it and it succeeds. I mean that. But I think there's something you said too. I mean, for honestly, taking that idea, and it would help if the two people weren't near fossilized and rough looking, you know, a little more charisma involved. But I mean, hey, we can tweak it. I appreciate those two individuals for being willing to do that. And they had a very respectful debate. They kept it on policy. It was refreshing.
Yeah, and it was refreshing. Was it pre-presidential debates or was it post-presidential debates? I'm trying to remember.
Post.
It was post, yeah, because it was almost like, I remember watching it and being like, oh my gosh, this is refreshing. Like, I don't care for Ted Cruz, but at least I could listen to it. And not be popping popcorn going, oh my God,
yeah,
what's going to happen?
He argued a ton of cases before the United States Supreme Court as a federal litigator. And Senator Sanders, obviously, I mean, hasn't changed his overall court sentence of his platform in 2.5 decades.
Yeah, so it makes for really good debate.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really great. So I hope that, you know, that plays part of it. And that becomes more of a, I hope that becomes more of a platform and more of a common stance than what we have even just on CNN, where there's 7 different political commentators and it's 3-4 or 4-3 and it's just talking over each other. And I got to get my point in. I got to get my point in. I got to... Okay, we're going to cut to break,
That's
folks.
That's what I mean. Like, watch Around the Horn. Like, I love watching it when Woody Page is on there. He's from Denver. He writes for Denver's newspaper. But the moderator, there's a... That person is acknowledged. You know, yeah, it's a panel of 4 initially, and it shrinks down to 1, whoever, quote unquote, wins. But, you know, you do it with 3 or 4, a certain demographics, however you want to mix it up, but charismatic folks that, I mean, there's plenty of folks that do this. There's plenty of people. There's always wonderful people to find. You know, They're not expendable, but there certainly are a lot of them. We could easily mine this sort of thing. I think there's a future for that. I really do. We're working on it.
And we're even, I mean, this is not a new thing as well, but with the advent of podcasting, it's more readily available. But, you know, Ben Shapiro...
We're definitely the first to really push that direction.
Yeah, well, Ben Shapiro and Sam Harris, who's kind of like the new atheist, almost one of the spokesmen after Christopher Hitchens, sat down and had a really philosophical debate about several things. But that was something that happened in a forum, and it was pushed out on a podcast for anyone to listen for free. And there was no name... I mean, there was massive disagreements, but it was incredibly civil. And I mean, it was, if you ever take a listen to it, I mean, it's deep. It is super deep, but it's, that's the type of communication that I hope we will advance further than the barricaded communication that we have today. I mean, they're side by side with one another, but unfortunately the shock and awe type of it is more of the trolling and the name calling, and as opposed to the articulate debate or conversation.
Yeah, not everybody on the left needs to be labeled a Stalinist, a Lenin commie. Not everybody on the right is George Lincoln Rockwell, you know, somebody on a reader of the Turner Diaries. I mean, it's just, there's too much, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So, well, with that, I think
this is not known. There are rules.
There are rules, indeed. Maybe that'd be a good logo or a good face for the podcast episode.
This is what happens, Larry.
This is what happens, Larry. When you, whatever they do on...
Find a stranger in the Alps.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. Well, my friend, I think I've beaten this one to... What do they call it? Dead horse? Or I don't know what it is. Something.
Yeah, it's all the way to the glue factory or dog food, whichever one.
Whichever one, so...
Where those retired racehorses go.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, with that, my friend, it's always a pleasure to be with you, and we'll be back this week, obviously, for the midweek wrap. And for,
is it still unpleasant?
Yeah, it always is. So, well, until next time,
wow.
We'll see you.